Hey, Happy Friday. This week, 9,000 milliamp-hour batteries in phones are finally a reality. The Vision Pro is somehow doing even worse than before, and consumer electronics are getting 20% more expensive due to AI memory shortages. Welcome to the Friday Checkout. This video was sponsored by Nebula. Okay, for my first story of the week, OnePlus said that their next phone will come with a 9,000 mAh battery. That is, incredibly enough, the kind of capacity that we used to see in large tablets or medium-sized power banks until recently, but OnePlus somehow managed to squeeze this into a fairly normal-looking device. The Turbo 6 series, as it is called, will first launch in China in about a week from now, and the only other specs that we know so far is that it will have a 165Hz screen, plus also a Snapdragon 8s Gen 4 chip. And hilariously enough, it will somehow still have a camera island even with this huge battery, though OnePlus was very proud that it now only protrudes by 1.7 millimeters. At this point, I honestly don't know why they didn't just make it completely flush and add another 1,000 mAh to get to a nice round 10,000 or something. Anyway, just 1 year ago, I made a video where I was celebrating the fact that mainstream smartphones were starting to cross the 6,000 mAh mark, and we apparently made another major jump since. Batteries are really getting much better now. The Turbo 6 is a gaming phone, which is a category that's always been really obsessed with specs, and I guess that in regular phones we won't quite see 9,000 mAh units just yet, but it's now in the card that in 2026 phones will start lasting 3 days or more. Pretty crazy. Okay, and for my second story of the week, we all already know that the Vision Pro is struggling, but the new Financial Times article says that the situation is somehow even worse than I would have thought. They cite the market research firm IDC, who expects that Apple will only have shipped about 45,000 new units of the Vision Pro in the last quarter of 2025. Now, this is both the Christmas quarter and also the launch quarter of their new and upgraded M5 base model, and so if there's ever gonna be a big sales bump in any quarter, it should have been in this one. Instead, the 45,000 figure is just catastrophically low. Sensor Tower also says that Apple has reduced digital advertising spending for the headset by more than 95% in the year to date, as people just aren't buying the thing. Meanwhile, Bloomberg reported that Meta also started pushing through deep cuts, reportedly reducing spending by 30% as its plans on the metaverse are fizzling out. And at this point, I'm really confused why Google and Samsung are launching Android XR with their headset instead of just putting the project on ice and just focusing on smart glasses for now. But okay, and my third story of the week is also based on a Financial Times article, and this one is pretty depressing. Chip shortages threaten a 20% rise in consumer electronics prices. 20%! And this could impact everything from smartphones to computers and home appliances. Yikes. Now, reading past the headline, we can see that 5 to 20% is the actual range of the expended price hikes depending on the device. And of course, you can blame AI demand for this, because that industry is sucking up all the memory chips. Samsung is apparently increasing its production capacity of HBM, the type of memory that's used by AI, by 50% in 2026, and all the firms are now saying that they basically can't get enough of the consumer stuff for regular devices anymore. Okay, and moving on to the release monitor, we start with the Xiaomi 17 Ultra by Leica. This is a special edition phone that goes extra hard on the Leica tie-ins, and among other things, it has a rotating bezel around the camera that you can use to zoom, including variable optical zoom on the periscope camera. Pretty nice. And next, LG announced a few new products, including a new party speaker called the Stage 501, which hilariously uses AI to remove and adjust vocals from virtually any song and even adjust the pitch, letting users sing solo, duet with the artist, or keep vocals low if they are feeling shy. That is low-key one of the better uses of AI. It's just a low-key fun feature, and if it works, I like it. But then the company also announced new Gallery TVs, which it positioned as competitors to the Samsung Frame TV line, so the devices look kind of like paintings when they're not in use. There are 55 and 65 inch models, and you get a 4K mini LED panel. And meanwhile, also new are some 5K monitors from the Ultra Gear line, which feature AI upscaling built right into the monitors themselves. I wonder if AI upscaling built into the monitor would actually work well, but all of these products will be shown off at CES. I will be at CES this year, so subscribe if you don't want to miss that. And moving on to the brief, we start with Samsung, who started rolling out its reboot of Bixby this week, which now comes with Perplexity built in. Some users started noticing that for more complex questions, they now get LLM-like answers via Perplexity, while simple transactional stuff will still get handled by Samsung's existing Bixby models for now. Then, still with Samsung, the ELEC reported that the company wants to start using its factory in Texas for the production of CMOS image sensors that will be supplied to Apple for iPhones, including potentially the upcoming iPhone 18 series. If that happens, it might be a substantial win for, let's call it, Trump's industrial policy. But then in perhaps the funniest headline that I've read this week so far, relief for Samsung, Apple, $499 Trump mobile smartphone faces delay in the US. This was based on yet another report from the Financial Times, which of course have found that the phone is nowhere near in sight. Yeah, I bet Samsung and Apple were absolutely terrified of this new phone, but as expected, not only will it not be made in the US, but it perhaps will not be made at all. Anyway, then in a major oopsie this week, Condé Nast, the parent company of publications like Wired, Vogue, The New Yorker, Vanity Fair, and more, got hacked. 40 million records are expected to have been stolen, including phone numbers, addresses, emails, names of readers, etc., which is a major yikes. Then in better news, Google last week started rolling out the ability for Gmail users to change their email addresses, and this week we actually got a first look at what this might actually look like in practice. Here are the conditions, and you can pause this to read this for yourself, or as usual, I'll put a link to this story and all the others in the description. Next, in kind of unexpected news, owners of the original Surface Duo can now download and install a cancelled Windows OS version called Andromeda OS on their devices after the software got leaked. This was the dual-screen version of Windows that was designed for handheld, which then never actually came out. That is kind of cool, and I have linked to that in the description as well, but just as a reminder, installing an operating system from a random person's GitHub is kind of a risky thing, so I wouldn't actually recommend it. Anyway, moving on, Nvidia took a $5 billion stake in Intel after regulators cleared its purchase of Intel shares that it announced in its September agreement. That's kind of an unholy union. And meanwhile, good old Games, aka GOG, aka the game store that lets you buy not just new games, but also old ones, DRM-free, announced this week that it's getting acquired by its original co-founder. Both of these projects belong to CD Projekt Red, which made games like Cyberpunk 2077 and also The Witcher, and the same person was a founder for both of these companies, so it looks like there won't actually be any major changes for players going forward. And then here's some definite good news. Ukraine and Moldova have officially joined the EU's free roaming area, so now anyone can travel between those countries and the EU and should just be able to use their mobile carrier plan to get service without having to pay extra. Nice. Okay, and here's a fun number that is way higher than I expected it to be. You know how at the end of every Friday Checkout episode on Nebula, I make a Q&A session actually answering a question from a viewer? Well, apparently something like 4,000 viewers watch each of these Q&A sessions every week. That's very popular. In this week's episode, the question that I answer is, quote, if China invades Taiwan and all the advanced fabs are damaged or destroyed, what impact would that have on China's tech ambitions? Great question. We've just launched free trials, so you can sign up and watch anything on the platform for 3 days to see if you like it, which includes this Q&A section, of course, but of course also loads of other things. Nebula is the home of many of our much bigger prestige projects like The Dinner Plan, which is just a straight-up movie that we made for the holidays, and it also includes fantastic multi-hour documentaries like 17 Pages that explores one of the most fascinating cases of scientific fraud, with an amazing twist at the end that would have literally been impossible to pull off on any regular streaming platform. And in addition to that, you also get our regular videos ad-free, often even early access, and also the knowledge that you're helping to fund a small but perhaps important part of the internet that is not overrun by AI slop that is trying to tear society apart, but is instead made by people who actually care about their craft, and you, the viewer. Best of all, with my link go.nebula.tv/tfc, which is also linked in the description, you'll also get a discount. Nebula costs just $2.50 a month, or $30 for a full year instead of the $60 that you'd pay for my regular link, plus using that link also lets Nebula know that I sent you and that directly supports me. Oh, and if you hate ongoing subscriptions, we even have a lifetime offer. With a regular link, that'd be $500, but mine brings that down to $300 as well. So check out go.nebula.tv/tfc or scan the QR code on screen, and I'll see you over there.